We're going to be doing Chelek Yudalit Kiseitse Beis. It's 10 o'clock. Good morning. And here we are with the schus again to learn another amazing tiny tipa shabiyam, a drop in the ocean of the Rebbe's Torah. It's interesting that this week, if you look in the Kodesh Sichas Chelek Yudalid, you'll see that there's actually two Rashi Sichas that were sent on the same day. This first year that the Rebbe, after the Rebbe Tzinchana passed away, in whose memory the Rebbe taught his Rashi Sichas, Tavshin Chaf Hei, it was often a case that in one Shabbos the Rebbe would teach two Rashi Sichas, often enough, one from the very beginning of the Parsha, one from the very end, and the one that we're doing today is from the very end of the Parsha. And we're beginning, if you have the Sefer on page 86, if you printed it out from the website, we're beginning with Si'if Aleph. Again, Teitse Beis Chelek Yudalit. B'siyum Parsha Seinu, at the very end of our Parsha this week, Maitik Rashi Timcha Ezecher Amalek. On Pasuk Gimel, Perek Tezavav. So that's 15:3. But for this Sicha, you don't actually need to look in. Rashi cites the words Timche Zecher Amalek. You should erase the memory of Amalek. Umefarish, and on these words he explains Meish Vaad Isha, Meolel Vaad Yonek. You should destroy or erase the memory of Amalek from man to woman, from a babe to a nursing suckling, mishor va'atzeh, from an ox until a sheep. Shelo yehei shem Amalek niskar. The name of Amalek should not be remembered, afilu ala behema, even concerning an animal. Lomar, to say, behema zu mishel Amalek kaisa. This animal once belonged to Amalek. In other words, you should completely eradicate the name of Amalek, destroy everything, man, woman, young child, all the animals. Bashkafa Rishona, at first glance, at first, you know, first perspective is, Ba Rashi lahashmienu shemechia zecher Amalek pirusha, lo rak harigas habanei adam da Amalek, elagam mechia sabahima. At first blush, it seems that Rashi is coming to tell us something very simple. We already know this idea of destroying the people, but you also have to completely eradicate, you have to erase even the animals. And so it's understood, it's kind of forced by the plain shot of the pasuk. Because if you don't do this, if you don't erase, if you don't eradicate, if you don't kill out all the flock, all of the animals, then the name of Amalek will still remain remembered through the agency of the animals, ala behema. And also another thing that it seems Rashi's teaching us about od, another thing, debnei adam, enam zechar malek ela malek atzma, that people that belong to that nation of Amalek, they are Amalek themselves, and animals are Zecher Amalek, a memory of Amalek. Bitzarek Lahavin. So that's what it seems Rashi's trying to tell us. But of course, the Rebbe is now going to put this Rashi under a microscope, and he says, we have to understand. Ma bichlal kasha b'hatebos timcha Zecher Amalek, shuhuzkak Rashi lefarshan. What exactly is difficult in these words, erase the memory of Amalek, that Rashi feels obligated to explain them? V'im ne'mar sh'Rashi mefarish lo perish ha'teva she'bekosov elo kushta demilsa. And if you want to say that it's not that the words themselves are difficult to understand, but Rashi is trying to address a difficulty in the context. Echu mechia zecher Amalek, which is how do you exactly eradicate or wipe out the memory of Amalek? Have a lo if Rashi's stated mandate here is to explain in general fashion how you wipe out the memory of Amalek, he should have explained it earlier in Parshas B'Shalach, where it says, Emcha Ezecha Amalek, I will erase the memory of Amalek. And from the fact that Rashi did not explain it there, which is the first time that this concept appears in the Torah, muchach, it's proven dehein perish hatevas vehein ofa mechia zechar malik who move on a pashut gam levin chamesh lemikra. From the fact that Rashi doesn't say anything in Bishalach, it's understood that both the words of the pasuk and the modality of how it is that you erase the memory of a malik are both understood. It's simple, even to the proverbial ben chamish lemikra, the five-year-old that is studying Torah, bim kain, lama la l'Rashi l'farshukan. So why does Rashi feel a necessity to explain it here? Parshas Bishalach was all clear. Why does he explain it here? That's question number one. We're now starting the five questions that Rebbe has on this Rashi, besides his overarching one, in the second part of Seif Aleph, the first part of Sicha, the second Sicha and Parshas Kisetze in Chelek Yudalit. Od Yesh L'dayik B'divrei Rashi. There are a few other small things that I want to carefully look at that it says in this Rashi. Aleph. Mikivon Shechidusha Shel Rashi Kan Hu Shemechia Zecher Amalek Hu Afilo Al Behema. Because it seems that the chiddush, the novelty of Rashi's commentary here is to explain how erasing the memory of Amalek is even through the agency of eradicating the animals. Lama ma'atik mehakasuv b'shmuel v'kosev gam me'ishvat isha ma'olol v'yonik. Why does he also kind of import a citation, which is a pasuk from the Nevi'im, from Shmuel, and he also cites in that pasuk the words from man to woman, from newborn until a suckling. If the whole thing seems to be here about animals, why bring in those parts of the pasuk in Shmuel? Why not just bring in the parts from Shmuel that are about animals? Beis. Lama lo hevi Rashi gam sima kasuf. And if he's already bringing most of the pasuk from Shmuel, why doesn't he bring the end of that pasuk, which states, migomel va'ad chamor, from a camel until a donkey? Me'achashe gam heim zech amalek. Because they are also remembrances of Amalek, v'enem b'chlal mishar v'atzeh, and they are not included in the words that Rashi does cite from that pasuk, which is from an ox till a sheep. How do we know that they don't fall into the wide category of from an ox to a sheep? It's proven from the fact that Shmuel, in that pasuk in Shmuel, it's delineated separately, which means it's a different category. So in other words, let's just review. If it's all about animals, question number one, why bring in the parts of the pasuk that discuss from a man to a woman, from a newborn to a suckling? Beis is, why does he not bring in the last part of that pasuk from Shmuel, which is from a camel to a donkey? Gimel, me'ish vi'ad se'ah, krochu. The words that Rashi cites from a man and ending off until a sheep, this is a pasuk, like he says earlier, or bechozos. And irrespective of the fact that this is a clear verse in Shmuel, lo kasav Rashi kedarko b'kama mekomos dechsiv okiyot sepozeh. Rashi does not say as it says, which he usually does or most often does. If he's bringing in a verse from a different source, he'll say as it is written. Dalet. Acharei shemevar Rashi shelo yehishem shel amalek nisgar afilu al behema. After Rashi says that the reason for this is that Amalek's name should not be remembered, even regarding an animal, Mosif, he then adds again, lomar, that a person shouldn't say, behemazu, this animal belonged to Amalek. Ulechora, the Rebbe says it would seem, have a kefel lashon. It seems like this is redundant. This is extraneous. This is extra. Yeah. And we already know from previous Rashi sichas that the Rebbe's working thesis is that Rashi is very parsimonious with his words. He doesn't use extra words. So why does he do this here? Or it seems like. Finally, the fifth question is, Berosh Perusho, at the beginning of Rashi's Perush, on the words, Emcha Zecha Amalek, Ma'atik Rashi Gam HaTevos Timcha Es. He also adds the words, Timcha Ezecha Amalek. in his Dibur HaMatchil, which means in the words that he bolds before he gives his commentary. Why does he add the words Timcha, erase the memory of Amalek, when it seems that all he focuses on is understanding what the memory means? In other words, the many ways in which that memory could be evoked. Beis. We're now in the second part of the Sicha. We're in Parshas Kisetze Beis, the second Sicha, Parshas Kisetze and Chelek Yudalet, Vabir Bazeh. And the explanation, the way to understand all of these points that the Rebbe brought up. Bahatzibur de Timcha es Zecher Amalek, Koshe Pshuto Shel Mikra. Because the command that we should erase the memory of Amalek is difficult. Zecher Amalek, Perusho, who has Ikon Shel Amalek. The simple explanation of the memory of Amalek is to remember Amalek. Bahatzibur Timcha es Zecher Amalek, who limchos Ikon Shel Amalek, Mimokam has Ikon, Hainum. And the whole command is that we should erase the memory, we should eradicate the memory of Amalek from our hearts, from our minds. So it's not understood. How is it possible to command people to erase the memory of Amalek from their minds? Zecher Amalek lo yia al libcha. The pasuk should have said that the memory of Amalek should not be upon your heart. O tasir mi libcha, or remove it from your heart. O kiyotu bezeh, or something like that. Hainu. Shelo yachshov al derech Amalek beratzon. The commandment should have been that we should not, in premeditated fashion, willingly think about Amalek. But after all, people are not completely in control of their thought process, that the memory of Amalek shouldn't pop up. So most of us have taken care of this in our computer systems, but you might remember that just a few years ago, it was very common for like things to pop up on your computer, and all kinds of companies did this to get your business. Unsavory websites did this to lure you in to these places. And if you're intelligent, you basically have to X out these pop-ups. But if you didn't X them out and you followed one link to another, probably not positive things would ensue. The same thing with our thought process. If you're not muted, if you could please mute yourself, that would be a taiva to us all. Thank you so much. So Rebbe is saying, and he says it's, he explains, about derech mash amar azal, like Chazal taught us, gimel averas ein adam nisal mehem b'chol yom. There are three things, there are three averas that no person is basically saved from every day. And one of those is hirhor avera, the thought of an avera. So the Rebbe says, the pasuk should have said, try to remove these thoughts from your heart. But how can we be kind of mandated that none of this should pop up in our subconscious? The Adarabba, and there says an even more so, Kishaniskor al Hatzivoyze Atzma Maskir Amalek. This commandment itself will remind you of Amalek. The commandment to wipe out the memory of Amalek brings to mind Amalek. There are lots of psychological experiments that have been done with this idea when you tell people not to think about something. So the Rebbe says, "Bishleima, the parshas b'shalach nemar ki mocho emcha zecher Amalek, shakadosh baruch hu yimcha zecher shel Amalek." The Rebbe says we can understand. In parshas b'shalach, it says Hashem says, "I will erase, I will eradicate the memory of Amalek." Okay, so Hashem is able to eradicate and sanitize completely. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shehu Kol Yachol, God who is capable of everything, Maftiach Sheyimcha V'Yashkiach Ezecher Amalek Machshavtam V'Leben V'Liban Shel Bnei Adam. Hashem is able to say that I'm going to make sure that Amalek is forgotten, erased from the thought process and from the hearts of humanity. Aval B'Parsha Seinu, but in our Pasha, Shatzivu Hu El Bnei Yisrael, where the commandment is to us, to Bnei Yisrael, Timcha Zercha Malik, you should erase the memory of Amalek, Kasha Kanal. This is difficult. איך יכול האדם למחוא זיכרון שבמחשבתו ושבמחשבה של כל בני אדם אשר תחס השמיים? How are people capable of completely erasing and eradicating a memory that can arise in their memory, that can arise in the memory of the human species that are under the sun? How is this possible? And this is what drives Rashi's commentary in this case. And Rashi explains, Hatzivoi hulo amachia zikoron amalik machshavas ha'adam. Rashi explains that Mehmet is not about erasing or eradicating the memory of a Malik from the thought process of people, ki'im, but rather, limchos kol hadivorim, to erase all the things, hamaskirim shmo shel Malik, that will remind us of the name of a Malik, mishor va'atzeh, from an ox until the sheep. Shelo yehe shem amalek niskar afilu ala behema. You need to take care of all of these, from the ox till the sheep, so that the name of amalek should not be remembered. Afilu ala behema lomar behema zum shel amalek haisa. Even regarding a behema, that a person shouldn't say, oh, this sheep, this ox, oh, that used to belong to amalek. Shal yedei zeh, because through erasing and bring out all the animals, b'derech memela, the naturally, yishkach sof sof zikaron amalek gam b'machshavto v'libo shel ha'adam. If you erase all the prompts, all the triggers, all the signposts, all the things that would remind you of amalek, then his memory forgotten, because that's how our minds work. Now in the third part of the Sicha, I want to remind anybody that at any point, if you have questions, unmute yourself if you want to ask, or I'm also looking at the chat, you can put in the chat. So now, based on what the Rebbe just explained, about what Rashi stated, that Rashi comes to explain the content of the commandment regarding the erasure of the memory of Amalek. The lo rak lahashminu prat nosaf b'zecher Amalek shehu kolol gam behema. Rashi is coming to tell us that this is not just a detail, it also includes animal. Muva mashakosev gam tchilas hakasam va'at. Now, once we understand what Rashi is trying to do here, which is to teach us how you actually eradicate the memory of Amalek, we understand why he also brings in the first few words of the pasuk, from man through woman, from newborn to suckling. And he explains here, how does Rashi tell us this? So the Rebbe tells us, b'melchemes Midian, when it came to the war with Midian, with the Midianites, the Jews were commanded to avenge their honor from the Midianites. In that story, the Torah tells us, "Kol hataf b'nashim b'gome hech yulachem." All the young children, the taf means the young, the very, very young children that are with their mothers, as it were, you should let live. They should live for you, meaning they should be absorbed into your households. They should maybe become your domestic help, whatever. And then, gam benogei le'isha, and when it came to the women of the Midianites, shebazeh nemar v'chol isha harogu, concerning the women, it says every woman should be killed. Hari mefurish hatam. There, the Torah tells us why the women should be killed. Ki hein heina hayu levnei Yisrael. Limsar Ma'al, because it was through the women, through the agency of the women, that the Jews actually sinned against God. And there was a terrible plague that broke out through the ranks of the nation of God. It was because of the women that this sin happened, and therefore the plague ensued. So what do we understand from what happened with Midian? That if it wouldn't have been that in this particular case, the women were actually the instigators, the inciters, the sin came through their agency, the women would generally have been allowed to live. Kimo hataf benashim, just like the very young children. Af shahaya hatzivoy linkum laharag midyadim. Even though there was a commandment to avenge and to kill out the Midianim, the Midianites, but generally it would not have included the women and the very young children, except that with the Midianites, there was an exception because the women were actually the cause of the sin. So therefore, al derech zeh, so going with this paradigm, hayamakom lomar gam b'milchama d'michyas tzamlei, we might have imported the same thought process when it came to wiping out Amalek. Shagam hi haysal derech nikom nikmas b'nei Yisrael, because what we're being told to do with Amalek is also about avenging the honor and the, of b'nei Yisrael. Because if you read the psukim around this cluster of psukim that we're looking at, the parsha prefaces by saying you should remember what Amalek did to you, how he attacked you, and how he tailgated you, and therefore you should erase his memory. V'hayisi savor lomar, and I might have thought to say, l'mchos laharok es ha'anashim, that based on what we've seen earlier in the Torah, the chiyu of the obligation would be to erase, to kill the men. Aval hanashim v'ataf hechem, but the women and the young children you should let live for you. L'chein miva'er Rashi, therefore Rashi here has to come and explain, behevio tchilas hakas, so bringing the beginning of the verse that he imported from Shmuel, Hatzivui kan hu limchos zecher amalek v'zeh kolel me'ish v'ad ma'olol v'ad yonik. That here, no, it's different than by the Midianim, by the Midianites. Here, you have to completely wipe out the complete error here, and it's from man to woman, from very young child, from babe to suckling, etc. Ulam. But now remember, there was one of the five questions. Why doesn't Rashi bring the end of that pasuk in Shmuel? Megamol, the ad chamor, ein tzorach laviyo. Now that we understand what Rashi is trying to tell us, we understand that Rashi doesn't have to give us those words. Why? Ki muvano me'alav. Because once we understand that all animals have to be killed, we understand. Also the camels, it's also the donkey. Dechivan shehatzivui laharag mishor v'atzeh mefarish ratam lo mipnei dechziv b'shmuel. Because Rashi is explaining that the reason for doing this is not because of what it says in Shmuel, ele mipnei shekan nemar zecher. Because here it's saying you have to eradicate, you have to erase the memory of Amalek, which is all encompassing. Because this is an all encompassing tzivoy, a commandment, a mandate, a charge that is so all inclusive. So we understand, of course, it's also going to include every species of animal. It's clear that every single species of animal is included in this mandate. Dalit, the fourth part of the Sikha. Achadayan eina muvan, but there's still something that we don't understand. Lefi perish Rashi, shatamhu shelo yish shem amalek niskar filu chulu. Based on what Rashi is telling us, the reason you have to wipe out all the animals is because you don't want the animal to be a reminder. You don't want it to evoke the memory of Amalek. Kasha. So now we have a difficulty. And that is, Hari Nikra Shmo Shel Amalek Lo Rak Al Bali Chayim. Animals are not the only assets that people might have that belong to Amalek. Elagam Al Nechasim Acherim. But they might have all kinds of other assets that belong to Amalek. Kegon Batim, Visados, Ukramim, Vafilim, Metaldalim. They can have houses, they can have fields, they can have orchards, and even metaltalin, movable assets. V'lama kasav Rashi rak dinitzdavu. So why does Rashi write only that we were commanded limchos es ham behema? Why is Rashi so focused on the animals? V'lo hayah hatzibui lah Hamash Mikol Nichseim. Why wasn't it overarching, all-inclusive, actually all-inclusive commandment that would be to completely destroy all of the belongings that belong to Amalek? Shelo Yehi Shem Amalek Nisgar Gam Al Adomei. Even when it came to the inanimate, the name of Amalek shouldn't be remembered, it shouldn't be evoked. Lachain Mosif Rashi. Now he answers the question of what seems to be a redundancy, seems to be extraneous, extra verbiage here. He says, that's why Rashi adds Lomar to say, Behema Zu Mishel Amalek Haisa, that we don't want to allow any animals to live because a person might say, this animal belonged to Amalek. And through this, Rashi answers this question that we just asked. He says, "Mechias Amalek tricha lios bedvorim hamaorim hazikaron al yedei sheyomru alehim zu mishal Amalek hayisav." Is that shayach rak bebalechayim v'lo b'nechasim acherim? That explain that what has to be destroyed are things about which will be said this belonged to Amalek. And this is only regarding animals and not other things. Why? The Rebbe explains. If hema ubechlala kol habalechayim, when it comes to a behema, which is specifically really, if you're going to be very specific, a domesticated animal, but it includes all animals. E efshar lasus bashinri gomor shelo yehi nikar klal mitziosa hakodemes. It's not possible to effect such a change in an animal that its previous form won't be recognizable. Or to make a change that can't, that's not, you can't reverse it. Ubifrat, especially, she'asur l'tzaris balechayim. The Rebbe says, maybe you'd be able to do this, but we can't do this because we have, and the whole world has, because it's one of the Shemis B'nai Nayach, that you're not allowed to cause pain to an animal. So if you wanted to give the animal such a, you wanted to change something about the animal that was so transformative, you would ipso facto be hurting it. The Vim came. So because of Tzar Bali Chaim, you can't make a change that would cause an animal Sa'ar, pain, and so you really can't change the animal very, very much. So from this we understand that even when an animal will leave the ownership of one Baal, let's say in this case from a Amalek, and have a new owner, because you can't affect a real change, a substantial change in an animal, it's always going to be recognizable, their original form, everything about them. And so it's natural for the person to remember, oh, this animal, maybe that has these speckles or these stripes or this tendency or this color or whatever it is, oh, that's the one I got from Amalek. V'lachain. So because you can't affect a substantial change in an animal, people will say, oh yeah, oh, you see those animals? Those are gorgeous. Those were from Amalek. In contradistinction to other assets. Ein hechrech limchos osam, you don't have to erase them. It's enough and it's necessary, according to Pshuto Shel Mikra, that you should change them in some way. You could change a house, you could repaint it, whatever they used to do in those days. You could reconfigure a field, you could replant a garden, you could do other things in an orchard. So because it's possible to change it and people will reappropriate it, they'll put their footprint on it, their fingerprint on it, they'll make it their own, right? they'll change the space in some way. Or even if they don't change it, the Rebbe says, but because you could change it, it's not the nature of people to keep saying about a house that they moved into, oh, this house you used to belong to, so and so. Nechasim acherim, davar domei mechulu, afilim im chashuvim heim, kegon avanim tovos margolios ma'achas sheyichom shnosam, ein mitziusim kayemes ad kidei kach. When it comes to other assets, and the Rebbe says, for instance, let's take a precious gem, very expensive stone. Because you could change it, you could put it in a different setting. You could take it out of one piece of jewelry, you could put it into another. So therefore, their essential original ownership doesn't remain. Ad kidei kach sheyikari aleim shem habalim harishonim la'olam. It's not like if you buy a diamond, and let's say even it was a famous diamond, and you know who you bought it from, when you buy it, and you put it into a new setting, or you put it in your crown, you don't call it crown of King Henry VIII. It's now in your crown. It's you can change it. And that's why Rashi adds what seems to be extraneous, that a person will say, this animal belonged to Amalek. Through this, Rashi makes clear to us why we don't have a commandment to erase all, to eradicate, to destroy all of the assets of Amalek. Only the animals. Because it's only dafka animals through which the agent, the memory of Amalek will be evoked. I think one thing that might be difficult for us that we just have to kind of remember is that most of us, maybe there is somebody on this call, on the Zoom, that leads an agrarian lifestyle, but most of us do not. And we have to remember that animals were the main assets. This was your financial portfolio. And so people put a lot of thought in what the animal looked like and the form of the animal, so on and so forth. And the Rebbe says there's not much you could do to change it. And because animals were so important to their life, and because you can't, according to the Torah, even if you're Ben Noach, you're not allowed to change it too substantially. This is very important to erase the name of Amalek. And in Pshuta Shel Mikra, the Rebbe says, there's a proof here in this pasuk that not all of the assets of Amalek should be destroyed. De'imkein, hava lalomar bikra, because if that's what Hashem wanted from us, if that's what the Torah wanted, then the pasuk should have said, lashon cheirem. Then the pasuk should have said, should have used the term cheirem, completely obliterate, al derech mashenemar le'il bi'ir hanidachas. Like what the Torah said earlier, using this exact obliteration term when it comes to the Ir HaNidachas, the city that is completely, completely corrupt. Hey, al pi hanal. So now that we understand Beshitas Rashi Beshut Shel Mikra, we understand what Rashi's trying to teach here, what his Mahalach HaMachshava, his trajectory of thought is. So based on this, Yitur'atz Mashak Megillas Esther, we can now understand something that it says in Megillas Esther, where it says, Hine bayis Haman asati la Esther, that the house of Haman I gave to Esther, l'chora, mikivon shehaman haya mizera Amalek. It would seem that since Haman was from the seed of Amalek, Haman ha'agogi, harei chayavim hayulim chos zich ve'ech kibla Esther's basal. We have to eradicate the memory of Amalek. So how did Esther accept such a gift? The house of Amalek. But lefishita hanal necha. But according to what this Rashi, with the tremendous help of the Rebbe, has just taught us, it's understood. Lo haya bazeh iser. There was no iser. There was nothing prohibited her. He zeh shenikra shemo shel haman al abayis. Hinei bayis haman asati l'Esther haya rak be'ez hanesina. Aval kashenichnas lo shosa shel Esther lo nikra od bayis haman. Because the fact that it was called the house of Haman, that was just when it was given to Esther as a gift. But it wasn't called Beis Haman after she lived it. I'm sure that there are, you know, we can all think of times where we moved into the house that belonged to somebody else. And after a short amount of time, it's our house. That's it. It's now our house. Umikol shekein b'kal v'chomer, and how much more so, etzem hatzivui, zechores asher asoluch ha-molik, v'gomer lo tishkach, maskir as ha-molik. And how much more so that the essence of the commandment here is to remember what a molik did to you and not to forget, and it reminds you about a molik, v'chol zos ein b'zestira, afilu b'shushal mikra. And even so, there is no there's no stira, there's no contradiction here. Even according to Pshut Shel Mikra, Kinal, Ki Sheche Yiskar, because as soon as you'll remember, Beyimcha, you will erase. Hareze Haderach Shesof Sof Yishachach Yishkach Zecher Amolik Lagamre. It's only through this process of remembering in order to erase that the memory of Amolik will be forgotten. Alachas Kama B'Kama B'Nesinas Bayit. Especially, and how much more so with a house of Haman. In other words, you take a house that belonged to Haman, you move in there, you reappropriate it, you make it yours, and that's another step in obliterating Haman. Vav, the penultimate part of the Sicha. So now the Rebbe raises a psychological difficulty. He says, after everything that we've explained, but there's something that's kind of makes us wonder. Ech efshar limcho zichro shel amolik v'hari mashi'ir l'amolik hu kama parshis v'torah. How is it possible to completely eradicate, to erase the memory of amolik? After all, everything that happened between us and amolik, we have a storied history as a nation. It takes up space in the Torah. It's mentioned many times. V'adarabba. And not only it's part of the narrative, but it's also part of our commandments. V'adarabba. And on the contrary, nitzdavino, we have been commandment. We have commanded. Raki shomer l'cha pen tishkach. Watch yourself, lest you forget. U'pen yasur m'levecha. And lest you remove this from your heart. And in our parsha, in addition to other places in the Torah, we're told, remember what Amalek did to you. So how can you erase the memory of Amalek when you're supposed to be remembering what Amalek did to you? And therefore you are forced to say, Gam b'pshut shel mikra, even in the pshat, not by using other strata and layers of commentary, but in the pshut shel mikra, da asura zechiras amalek l'shem zechira, that what we have to understand here is that what's prohibited is to remember amalek qua amalek, just to remember amalek. U'michuyeves zechiras amalek l'shem echiyas zechro, but what we are commanded to do, what we're obligated to do, what we're mechuyev to do, is to remember Amalek for the sake of erasing him. V'lo od, and this is not just something that we're supposed to do kind of like, you know, theoretically. He says, but l'chatchila, but in the very first place, minhagu, it's actually a Jewish custom, lichtov shemo al eitzim v'avonim, to write Amalek's name on wood, on stones, bishvil limchoso, for the purpose of erasing it alidei haksha, through hitting it. I remember once I went to a conference and I was sitting next to someone and he was writing on the bottom of his shoe, on the sole, he was writing Amalek over and over and over. And I remember that I was very arrested by that sight. There is such a minhag. Shari e f sharlo lekayim mitzvos timcha ezecher amalek mebli sheikasvu tchila. Because there's no way to be mekayim the mitzvah of erasing the memory of Amalek without writing out the name Amalek. There are other ways to do this, but the Rebbe's point is that yes, you have to evoke the memory in order to erase it, but you're not allowed to evoke the memory just to kind of revel in the memory. And now the Rebbe brings in takes us on a tiny little bit of a tangent and then says, but this is not the time for us to discuss this. And he says, and I just want to bring to your attention, that if according to this thesis that you have to remember in order to forget, we have to look into it. It requires study to other modalities like this in halacha. For instance, would you be permitted is a Jew allowed to steal from a poor person in order that he should be forced, according to halacha, to give the person twice as much as he stole because he knows that this person doesn't want charity? So would this be permitted to circumvent the halacha and to steal in order to be able to give the person more money because you know they need it and they won't accept it any other way? Or would you be permitted to buy chametz erev Pesach? I don't think this means on Pesach. Maybe it means even on Pesach, in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of destroying it, eradicating it on Pesach. Or osa avodah zarah, would you be permitted to fashion an idol in order to be mekayim, to fulfill the mitzvah of destroying avodah zarah? The ein kan makom, and this is not the place to postulate and to ruminate on these three cases. But the Rebbe is saying, in this particular case, this is a halacha that you have to remember in order to forget. If you're allowed to do what seems to be the wrong thing in order to effect a right thing through it, in other cases, Rebbe says this is not the place for us to analyze this. Zayin. We're now in the last part of the sicha. Miyena shel Torah. Now let's talk about the wine of Torah, the most delicious, the valuable, the wine that you get when you squeeze the grape. Miyena shel Torah shebeperish Rashi. So what's the Yena shel Torah, the wine in this Rashi here? Mevor b'chassidus. Chassidus explains, deklipas amolik avoda hu inyan hakriros. Chassidus explains that the amolik in our spiritual service is coolness. Kar means cold, dispassion, aloofness, emotional distance. Deklipas amolik ba'avoda hu inin hakriros asher karcha baderech. So karcha baderech, the literal pshat means who accosted you on the way when you left Mitzrayim. But Hasidus says, karcha, you can also see in it the etymon for kar, cold, made you cold. And actually, Rashi says that Amalek, Rashi brings a very colorful metaphor. You know, there's certain Rashis that like every teacher likes to teach their third graders or the fourth graders because the kids can really get into it. So Asher karcha baderech, forget about Hasidus, Rashi says, that what did Amalek do? When the Jews left Mitzrayim, the whole world was petrified of the Jews. I mean, they had just witnessed miracle after miracle. They were the untouchables. They were the invincible. But Asher Korcha Baderach. But Amalek was the first to instigate and agitate against the Jews. And Rashi says, it's like the person that jumps into a hot bathtub, cools it down for everybody else. So in spiritual avodah, the Amalek is the force that comes and says, don't be so excited. Yeah, it's Chodesh Elul. Yeah, HaMelech Basada. All right, relax, August, you know what I mean? Like, don't get so excited. That's the Amalek. Shemekarer es ha'odam shelo lehitpa'el me'elokus. That's the Amalek is the Yetzahara, is the subsidiary of the Yetzahara that comes and cools people off and says, don't get so affected by godliness. Don't get so excited. And the way to erase, the way to eradicate this spiritual Amalek is through Kabbalas Ol, which means through accepting that there are certain things we have to do, whether we understand them or not, whether we're excited about them, they have to be done because we accepted the yoke to do them. So just for 2 minutes, because this might actually be a week where we get it on time in the 1 hour, or maybe even early. But I just want to explain that in Chassidus Chabad, especially, it's all about Chabad, right? Chachma bina da'as. It's all about using your seichel. And Chassidus explains that when a person doesn't use their seichel, when they truncate seichel from their avoda, they're leaving behind an essential aspect of their humanity, of what makes you a person. And therefore, you must serve Hashem through your seichel, to serve Hashem fully. And yet at the same time, it's like a trapeze act. It has to be this, there's a tension here. There has to be both polarities that are pulling at us. There has to be the seichel, and there has to be the Kabbalah's ol. Because Chassidus explains that on the other hand, if it's only through seichel, so seichel is by definition limited because we're human beings. So our seichel, even if we have, if we're granted a large amount of seichel, it's limited. So you can't serve Hashem only with seichel because Hashem is infinite. Hashem, you know, trying to serve Hashem only with seichel is like trying to look at stars with a spoon. It's the wrong instrument. So there has to be Kabbalah soul. There has to be that we have to put ourselves at the behest of Hashem and say, Hineni, whatever you want from me. Has to be both. The Amalek, the Yetzirah of Amalek, the coldness, comes through seichel. The seichel comes and analyzes and says, yeah, okay, it's important, but there are other things that are important also. The Kabbalah's all is the passion and says, you know what? This is what I have to do. I have to be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shamayim. Hashem is my king and I am my servant. Hashem is my father and I am his child. Hashem is my spouse and I am his wife. I have to do these things. My husband is depending on me. The Dover Zim Rumus Beperish Rashi. And the Rebbe says, and this is all alluded to very cryptically in this Rashi. And the Rebbe shows us how. And this is all kind of like, in courts, the court reporters, they when they have to write very, very quickly, it's really very cryptic here. Amalek, Vereshis Goyim, Amalek. So the whole idea of Amalek, and Amalek is the head of all the other Goyim, Zayim Midos. There were seven nations, and Al Pi Chassidus, it alludes to the seven Midos in every person, right? Chesed Gvor Teferis, Netzachod Yisod, Malchus. So Amalek, Yecholim Lifo, Be'ikra Bezela Umazeh. The only way to eradicate the coldness of Amalek that overcomes our midas is to go on the offense, zelu umazeh, in the opposite way. To marshal and to mobilize and to bring to the front line b'zayin midas the nefesh ha'elokhi, chol nefesh ha'bahams. You have to take the seven emotive aspects that are in your nefesh ha'elokhi, and they have to also co-opt the seven emotive aspects of the nefesh ha'bahams. And then you're able to overcome what Amalek, Voracious Goyim Amalek does to your midos, how it tries to cool you off. And when Amalek does this to your midos, it's not just you that's being affected, because there's a way that Amalek does this to you microcosmically, and there's which this affects the macrocosm. Va'ad she'ein Hashem sholim. Reb explains, Al Pi Kabbalah, Al Pi Chassidus, that the shame of Hashem, Yud Ke Vav Ke, so the Yud and the He are Chachmam Bina. The Vav and the He, Zayim Midas De Lamayla. They are about seven emotive aspects in the Godhead. And when Amalek creates this coldness, it creates this lack, as it were, Ve'ein ha-kisei shalem, and the seed of God is not complete. So the word kisei in Hebrew is comprised of three letters. Case, which means something that covers over, that obfuscates, and the kisei becomes a case below aleph. It's something that covers over and it doesn't have the aleph, and the aleph is the alufo shel olam, the boss of the entire universe. And when Amalek does its work, it creates a situation where God, the alufo shel olam, the overarching, like I said, boss of the whole world, is not manifest. It's nigla behelem v'kisui da olam, is only revealed through the occluding and the obfuscation and the masking and the all the ways in which the world masks and veils godliness. After Hashemayim kisi ba'aretz hadom ragli, even though the truth is, like it says, that the heaven is God's seat and the earth is his footstool. And even though this will always be true, but there are times where this truth is veiled and shrouded and obscured. And this happens through this terrible klipa of Amalek. And this is all alluded to, the Rebbe says, Uba Adam. So now let's go back to the pasuk that Rashi brings from Shmuel, Ish Isha, Dinikra Kein Al Shem Hamidos. Because we have to eradicate Amalek the way it infects and pollutes the Ish and Isha. The Ish is Zah, the Ish is the first six of the Midos. And the Isha, the Mikabel, is Malchus. And so together, Ish and Isha are the Midos that are held hostage by Amalek, as it were. And Nikra, Okashahim Bekatnos, and when a man or woman are small, Hareza Olo V'yonik. So that's why he brings down, again, this is like the deeper allusion to how we have to eradicate the klip of Amalek in ourselves and in the world. So you have adult men and women, you have young children, olo v'yonik, ubenefesh ha'elakishalo mishor ba'atzer b'tokva, o b'chalishus b'katnos. And the Rebbe says, sure, the ox is a very, very strong and large animal. The seh is a very weak and small. The sheep is a very small and weak animal. The Rebbe says you have to take care of all the issues that Amalek created in your nefesh alki that are, and in your nefesh Bahamas that are both large, very obvious, overt ways in which Amalek has attacked your system, and even in the subtle ways like the seh. V'lachin sarach limchot hazercha Amalek mi'ish v'yat seh. And therefore, Rashi brings this whole pasuk, almost the whole pasuk, because you have to eradicate every part of it. And this is very interesting. And because there is even a Malik, this klipa, that even affects goyim, even amongst goyim, sharehu reishis goyim, because a Malik is a distinction that is kind of like the most important, the first of all the goyim. The gamzet zarech limchos ubefrat shela asin lavo nemar az efoch el amim safa brura likro kulam b'shem Hashem el avdo shechem echad. A Malik is distinct amongst the goyim, and we have to eradicate the Malik that is in the other nations, especially because in the Navi Tzefanya, he explains that, and we're moving towards this time, right? The world is going to crescendo in a time where the Navi says, I will overturn all of the nations, that they will all, with clear language, call upon God, and they will all together serve God. B'chein nema b'kra. That's why in Shmuel, in the pasuk, it says, Migomo v'ad chamor. From a camel till a donkey, which means even the other nations have to be turned over. Not just our midos, not just this has to affect the way it's above in the kisei of Hashem, but it also has to infiltrate all the other nations. But Masha Enki Mepirish Rashi Shinyana Hashayach L'Pshut Shel Mikra. So in Shmuel, it has to talk, it has to allude to this avoda, the spiritual avoda that has to transform everything, including the other nations. But Rashi doesn't bring that part because he's focused on Pshut Shel Mikra. And the Rebbe finishes, Avo Befchinas Domeim. But when it comes to the inanimate, Shehi Avoda de Kabbalas Ol, but when it comes to inanimate aspects of this world, right? So earlier the Rebbe explained that the inanimate aspects of this world, houses, fields, this kind, well, fields of and vegetation, but in certain aspects, they're also inanimate. Those things can be reappropriated. They could be changed. They take on a different form. And now you can understand this in a deeper way because they are milchatchila, this idea of Kabbalah's Ol. And since I'm feeling so lucky that we have still another 5 minutes and less than five lines, so I'll just say that there's other places in Chassidus where it talks about how the whole world, except for the person, feels the Ratzon Elyon. It feels the will of God, and therefore it doesn't trespass the will of God. It's the Indian of Kabbalah's Ol. Like the sun has that in the west, it says, because that's where the Shekhinah is. So every day, the sun prostrates herself to the Shekhinah. So when it comes to a person, Hashem's will for what we should do in our avoda is so intrinsic and so essential to Hashem's will. It's so aloof. It's so elevated that we don't feel it. And therefore, we operate unencumbered by God's will. We have Bechira. But the domain, every other part of creation, not every other part of creation is actually domain when we divide it between person, animal, vegetation, and the actual inanimate like minerals. But conceptually, the rest of the world is, and especially when you take out the animals, it's domain. It's all about Kabbalah's Ol. It can't do anything but what God wants of it. It's not like the sun can get up in the morning and say, I'm going through a midlife crisis, I'm not going to shine. And the waves can't say, I'm having a bad hair day, I'm not going to crash today against the rocks. It just can't do that. It's all about Kabbalah's Ol. Like David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Im lo shivisi v'domamti, bitl v'kabbalah's Ol. Bezeh ein la malik achiza. So Amalek can't attack these parts of creation. All about Kabbalah's Ol. Amalek, they're not vulnerable to the attack of Amalek that comes and says, don't be so excited. Don't shine so bright today. Oh, wind, take a break. You don't have to rustle through the leaves today. Peaches, today you have a day off. You don't have to grow. Can't do that. The Rebbe says, and it's actually on the contrary, through the Kabbalah's Ol and through the Bittul, that's how we actually eradicate Amalek. And then the name of Hashem, the Yud Kei Vav Kei is complete, the throne of Hashem is complete. In other words, just again, 3 minutes. Because we don't have this default of Kabbalah's Ol, that, and that's our greatness that we have Bechira, but that's also our downfall. So when we access a Kabbalah's Ol, we're in a better position to understand who we are and what we are and not get distracted by other forces that are calling our name and winking their eye and trying to tell us, calm down, don't be so excited, because that's what the Yetzirah does. Imagine if you waited 12 years to get an appointment with a medical professional, the most important in their field. And then, instead of going up to your appointment, you start flirting with the person that's supposed to take your car, just the valet service, and you miss your appointment. When we don't have Kabbalah's Ol, it's possible, Chalila, to lose sight of what we're doing in this world. The rest of creation can't do that, but we can. And that's why it's so important for us to be attentive to this inyan of the Amalek that's looking to catch our eye, flirt with us, cool us down, mitigate the excitement, throw in a little bit of dispassion, throw a little bit of cold water on the fire, and then Amalek is happy. I'm wishing all of you a wonderful week. Thank you so much for this singular opportunity that I so treasure and cherish. And we should all have a very big success in all of our avodas as we go through this chodesh. Kol tov, good day, and everything good.
Thank you, Rivka.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Lovely.
Thank you.
My pleasure.